going, I guess I'm going to ask you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It'll take me a little while to get there. I want to try to finish up what I started last week. Last week I tried to speak on the truth about free will. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. We're going to take me a little bit to get there. 1 Corinthians 2 and 14. Last week I tried to speak on the truth about free will. Free will is not nearly, the free will of man or any other creature is not nearly as simple and one-dimensional as a lot of people want to make it out to be. We discovered, I hope through the study of God's Word, that the free will of any creature is limited or circumscribed by the nature of the creature. We found out last week that there are even things that God Himself cannot do. God cannot lie. He cannot deny Himself. He cannot sin. All these are things that God cannot do. Now, when I say that God cannot do that, I'm not saying that someone somewhere telling God He cannot do that. I'm saying His nature is absolutely, completely holy and pure and sinless. And it is, I'm going to say, outside God's capacity because of His nature. The same thing is true of a pig. Now, here's the way I started my sermon last week. I want to repeat this, and maybe the Lord will help me incorporate this in a minute. The sign that was in my choir director's office when I was in college said, "Never try to teach a pig to sing. It wastes your time, and it annoys the pig." Now, I want you to try to imagine a pig listening to Moonlight Sonata. Never try to teach a pig to sing. You know why it's futile to try to teach a pig to sing? Its nature forbids him to. He does not have the capacity. He does not have the ability. Nor does he have the will. And in fact, a pig, because his nature, listen, the pig's nature is beneath music. Amen? So let's just see you play music for a pig. And is the pig going to get it? Is the pig going to comprehend it? I like playing guitar a little bit. I've gotten to where I play guitar probably more than I should. I drive Becky crazy. Well, so I sit around the house, someone to play guitar. And she says, Becky can understand when I play guitar. I'm trying to learn the song Both Sides Now. About got it. When I play Both Sides Now, Becky can understand that. Chester never gets it. I play Both Sides Now and Chester just scratches. You don't want to know why? Music's above his nature. Are you with me? Okay. Romans says, the salvations, the grace of God, the mercy of God is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. It's not according to our will. It's according to God's will. I want y'all to know that every single thing God ever does, everything God ever thinks, everything God ever wills, everything God ever commands us to do, everything God has ever commanded anybody to do, is holy. Are you with me? It can't be anything other than holy. That's His nature. Are you with me? So, the free will of any creature is circumscribed by its nature. I said last Sunday, the pig can do any piggish thing. The pig can do any piggish thing he wants. He can wallow in the mire. He can root up your corn crop. He can eat until he bursts, but he cannot sing. Okay? Now, what I have just said about free will, the nature of any creature, applies to fallen man. Okay? It applies to fallen man. That's why it says in Romans 9, That salvation, the mercy of God, the grace of God is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. It is of God that showeth mercy. Your salvation is of God. It wasn't because you were willing to have it. You were dead in sins. That's what I want you to see. So I want you to read now with me. And what I'm going to get to, if the Lord, I really need your prayers badly. Sister Chris, need your prayers badly because I want to get to Philippians. Let me quote Philippians before I read 1 Corinthians. Philippians says the following. I quoted this last week too. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So who worked the will in you? Who was it that placed within you the will to serve or please God? Who was it that placed within you not only the will but the to do? I understand that to be the ability, the will and the ability to serve God. God put them in you. Isn't that great? Now let's study on that a minute. Having said that, read with me now. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, very familiar to most of us. But the natural man, in the Bible, that means a man void of the Spirit of God. A man or a woman, or a boy or a girl, who is unregenerate, who has not yet been indwelt by Holy Spirit God. Okay? Someone who is unsaved, not born again. That is what the word natural man means there. Okay? By the way, his nature is corrupt. You know why his nature is corrupt? Because we all fell in Adam, right? Our nature is corrupt. I'm asking you, do y'all still face any of that? Do y'all still deal with any of that? I'll say more about that later. Do you still have any corrupt nature left within you? You got any of that? Sister Minor came in here this morning a little early, and I was greeting her, and she was thanking the Lord for the milder weather, and then she felt ashamed because of how much we gripe about hot weather. Isn't it amazing how we complain? Do you ever complain about anything? You know what we'll do? We will complain about situations that are better than they used to be. Say amen, church. Things get better, things improve. What do? We still complain. What? What is up with that? But we do, don't we? How come we have such trouble? Why is it that we still, even as God's children, have such trouble just thanking God for everything? How come? What's up with that? Well, you still got a little bit of that carnality involved in you. But I'm telling you right now that before you were born of God, that's all you had. There was no will to do within you. There was no ability to do. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Are you listening to God? This is God's word. This is not Gary Harvey's opinion, although it is Gary Harvey's opinion. But if it's just my opinion and not God's word, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. How much does the pig comprehend, understand Moonlight Sonata? For they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them. What? And then here's the reason why. Why? Because the natural man can't receive the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness unto him. He cannot know them. Why? Because all these spiritual things, they are spiritually discerned. That is, you must have the Spirit of God in you, and you must have a new spirit in you, a new nature in you, if you're going to understand these things, which are of such a higher nature, so far above your carnal nature. Everybody understand? In fact, I think I would go on record today as saying that the distance between God and man The distance between God and fallen man, especially, the distance between God and fallen man is far more than the distance between the pig and Moonlight Sonata. Would you all agree with that? The things of God are so far above the comprehension, ability to understand, or anything, any ability to will and or receive of a natural fallen man. I wish everybody understood this. Good news is coming. So, the natural man receives not things of the Spirit of God, etc. Now, let me just point out four things here. The reason this is stated about the natural or unsaved man is because of the corruption of his will, which is because of the corruption of his nature. A corrupt nature can do nothing other than a corrupt thing. Bound by its nature. Now the Bible puts this in another language in another place. It says in another place, either make the tree good and the fruit good. And if I'd have thought about this before this moment, I'd have wrote this down. I don't remember where this is. See me after church. It says, either make the tree good and the fruit good, or make the tree corrupt and the fruit corrupt. You know what that means? If you've got a good tree, it can only produce good fruit. If you have a corrupt tree, it can only produce corrupt fruit. It's its nature. Everybody understand? All right, I would ask you today, have you ever seen a peach growing on a bramble? Never in your life have you seen that. The nature of the thistle is to produce thistles. It's not going to produce good fruit. Amen? A good tree, though, is going to produce. So the Bible's teaching us explicitly over and over that the nature of the creature, whatever it is what its will is going to be. A natural man who is in this condition, devoid of the Spirit of God, he's got a free will. But it's limited to his carnal, fallen, sinful, wicked nature. He can choose between carnal, sinful, wicked things. He does not have the capacity to even understand or comprehend or choose spiritual things according to this verse. Are you all with me? Okay. So, the natural man does not receive spiritual things. He's natural. He's not spiritual. He does not receive spiritual things. How much is the pig going to receive this Moonlight Sonata? You know, the pig's even got ears that are hearing something, but it doesn't receive it. There's not anything in there to comprehend it. It's above his nature. These same spiritual things, according to this verse, are foolishness to a natural man. Foolishness. Make no sense. Imagine a sonata played for Porky Pig. The scripture is also teaching us here that a man devoid of the Spirit of God, a natural man, cannot even know these spiritual things. He cannot know them. That means understand them, comprehend them, assimilate them, put them together, gain anything from them. Amen? This is the condition of a natural man. Now let me pause right here to say, if you're here today and you love God and you love Christ and you have faith in God and you trust God and you know God's going to do right and you've got that dilemma and you hate the way that you are at times, I'm telling you, you're not in this condition of being unregenerate. I'm not talking to you like you're in that condition, but I want you to know that's what you once were before God got a hold of you. That's what I want you to know. And he cannot do any of these things because these spiritual things, and I ask you, is the gospel a spiritual thing? I cannot even imagine anything more spiritual than the gospel. How crazy is it? How crazy is it from the carnal point of view? Think about it now. From the carnal point of view, how crazy is it for you to get up and get around and get to church? How crazy is that? What are you going to be entertained? You're not going to be entertained much, are you? You're not going to be entertained much. Now, I will say, here upon remove, you have the chance to get some food here in a minute. I will say that. But the real reason you're here goes way beyond that, doesn't it? From the carnal point of view, what sense does it make? You could be sleeping in. You could be on the creek bank. You could be lots of different places. But you're here. You know why? God's put something in there. All right. So, man, the natural man, devoid of the Spirit of God, dead in sins, he has a free will, but it is limited to, circumscribed by, his fallen Adamic nature. His free will not allow him to make decisions or understand spiritual things which are on such a plane so far above him, something's got to be done to him before he can ever understand them even. What's going to have to be done to the pig before he can understand Moonlight Sonata? I know y'all. This really works. Okay, if I take a pig and I play the Moonlight Sonata, okay, what if I wash him? If I take the pig and I wash him real good, is washing the pig going to help him understand Moonlight Sonata? If I powder him and put perfume on him, is it going to help the pig understand the Moonlight Sonata? If I trim his nails, brush his teeth, what if I put him on some sort of health regimen and he's the healthiest pig in the world, is he going to understand Moonlight Sonata? What if I make him lose weight? Pigs don't like that. What if I starve him down? Is that going to help him understand Moonlight Sonata? Let us confess that we don't have the capacity to do anything to a pig that he's going to understand the Moonlight Sonata. You know what he needs? Something higher than the pig would have to do something to the pig to change his nature so he could comprehend that, right? Everybody understand that? I'm not saying you're a pig, but I'm saying our will is limited by our fallen nature. We're in the same shape. The gospel's completely unintelligible to us if we are unregenerate. Did you know unregenerate people don't have faith? All men have not faith. Unregenerate people do not have faith. You've got faith's the fruit of the Spirit. You've got the Spirit of God before you have faith. That's why I keep telling you over and over, if you have faith in God, if you know God's going to do right, if you trust God to do right, if you have that kind of faith in God, it's because you are a saved person. Yeah, and you're not a saved person because you made up your mind you wanted to be. You're a saved person because God saved you. And then you had the ability and the will. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That will and that ability are of God. Now, so here's what happens. At the time of God's choosing, and I've said this to you over and over. Well, okay, Galatians says love is a fruit of the Spirit. Love for God is a fruit of the Spirit. Not love for your mother, not love for pizza, not love for cheeseburgers. Not love for hunting. All those things a natural man can have. Love for God is a fruit of the Spirit. Did you know a natural man does not love God? You say, well, everybody loves God. Oh, no, they don't. Oh, no, they don't. The natural man does not love God. The Bible describes him as at enmity. That word means hatred or variance with God. That is the attitude of a natural man toward God. You know why? Because all he can think about is somebody telling him what to do is do stuff he don't want to do. Are you with me? If you love God, you are a saved person. You may not have joined the church yet. And we're going to offer an invitation here in a little while. And if you haven't joined the church and you want to join the church, you want to commit your life to Jesus Christ, you should do that today. But that is not what gets you saved. What gets you saved is God giving you eternal life, just like he did the dead baby in Ezekiel chapter 16. This comes at the time of God's choosing. Now, if you love God, you are a child of God. And I'm going to ask each and every one of you, as I've said this to you over and over, I'm going to ask each and every one of you today to think back. And if there's ever been a time in your life, in your memory, when you can remember when you didn't love God and Jesus, when you didn't love God. Can you remember a time when you didn't love God? I'm going to tell you, I cannot remember back far enough when I didn't love God. I'm not saying I've understood God. I'm not talking about, did you understand God? I'm saying that deep within you loved God. And if you are here today and you can't remember back far enough when you didn't love God, I'm telling you, you were born of God when you were very, very, very young. Probably when you weren't even aware of what was going on. God gave you eternal life and implanted his love for you, him, in your heart. It happened to John the Baptist when he was still in his mother's womb. Are y'all with me? John the Baptist had joy in his heart when he was in his mother's womb, 6 months along, 3 months before he was born. Is that not a mind blower? Is it not a mind blower? I love to think of the story of Helen Keller, who understood all about God. No, I say understood all about God. When they finally got her, when they finally got to where they could communicate with Helen Keller. Do you remember Helen Keller, blind, deaf, could not speak? When they finally got to where they could communicate with Helen Keller through patting in the palm of her hand, they told her about God and Jesus. She said, "I've known him all my life. I just didn't know his name." How did that happen? How did God get to Helen Keller? Same way he got to you. Same way he gets to everybody. Remember, there's only one way we're born again. We're all born again by the blood of Jesus. Isn't that great? And that is when God puts in you this new spiritual will that you've got. Not only the love for God, but he works in you both to will, Philippians, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That comes when you are born of God. Now, I'm going to ask each one of you again, if there's not something inside you that wants to do, that really wants to do God's will. I was talking to Brother Mike this morning about the youth conference, 225 young people. Do you have any idea how much that charged my batteries? I mean, I love young people anyway. I love the young people in this church with all my heart. I love them so much I would embarrass them if I did not restrain my nature. Because you want to know what I'd like to do? Line them up and hug every one of them till their ribs hurt. That's what I'd like to do, but I don't do that. But I'm all about young people. And the young people, they're not the church of the future. They're the church now. Young people, I cannot describe how important they are. So we were talking, Brother Mike and I were talking about 225 young people. And I mean, I was just in my element, let me tell you. I mean, I love them so much. I love teaching school because I love young people. Talked to Brother Mike. Said, you know, we need more young people. We'll never have enough young people. Brother Mike and I said, well, we're going to have to do better. We're going to have to do better about how we reach them, how we make them welcome. We're just going to have to do better. And we were not complaining. But here's what I want to ask you. Is that will, that desire, I'm telling you, Brother Mike was expressing to me his fervent desire to do better in the service of God. Where did that come from? Where did that desire come from? How did Brother Mike have that? He's got this desire, this deep desire, this will to do better, to improve. Where did he get that? Well, he didn't generate it. God worked it in him. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. That is the will and the ability. God works them in you. So if they're in there, I know God put them in there. Are you with me? It's just that simple. Isn't that great? But now I want to say something about this. It's complicated. This issue's not near, it's just not as simple as people want to make it out to be. Now, I've read all these commentators about that verse there, Philippians, where it says, it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And many of them are wrong. I know that sounds egotistical for me to say that. But listen to me. They say, here's what God does. When God gives you eternal life, he fixes your carnal will or changes your carnal will. That is, they will admit that prior to regeneration, all you have is a carnal will, and your carnal will can only will for carnal things, right? That it's only going to want natural things and so forth and so on. They'll admit that your will isn't going to want anything spiritual prior to that. But here's when they make their mistake. They say, God, when he gives you eternal life, what he does, he changes your carnal will to a good will. All right, y'all thinking why that can't be true? Here's why that cannot be true. If that were true, if God took your carnal will that you had prior to regeneration and changed it, revamped it, did something to it to make it spiritually good, you would no longer have that carnal, Adamic, fallen, natural will, would you? You no longer have it. Well, bless your heart, you do have it, don't you? I mean, you've still got it, but you've got this other will too. How complicated are you? Now, this is the condition of the regenerate man. It's the condition of the child of God. And not only that, it's even more complicated than that, in my opinion. God puts this new creature that he gives you, when he gives you eternal life, you're created a new creature. Gives you a spirit and a soul in there that are already in the image of God. They're like Christ, put inside your mortal body. That is flabbergasting. Do you realize there's a new creature inside your body? I mean, something that's just as good as it's ever going to get. Y'all with me? It's glorified. It's as holy as God is. And he put it inside you. When did he do that? When he gave you eternal life. When did he do that? Probably in most of y'all's cases, when you were very, very young. How long, can you remember when you didn't love God? So he worked in you that will and that to do of his good pleasure. But notice that, you're willing to do his good pleasure. Why is Brother Mike willing to do his good pleasure? Because God worked it in there. Why does he have the ability to do his good pleasure? Because God worked it in there. He worked it in there a long time ago, probably in the case of most of you. And you've got that, but it's inside you, is it not? That new creature's contained in your mortal body. I don't want to break Sister Anita's heart, but when I think of Brother Robert, I think of how happy I am that he was released from prison. We miss him here at Point Remove. I know Sister Anita misses him. I cannot even comprehend how she does. But it just gave me joy to think that he was released from prison and went home to be with God. God put that new creature inside you. It's willing to do right. It has the capacity to do right. But you've also still got the natural carnal will. And that good will is kind of inside you so that you kind of have to struggle with this. And you may say to me, well, and I'll even admit, I wish it weren't so. Here a while back, I got to visit with Brother Stephen Davis, who was pastor of First Baptist for years and years and years. Got to visit with him a little bit. He and I were talking about this very thing. Talking about people, and bless your heart, there are actually preachers that will stand in front of their congregations and say, if you still love sin, you're not saved. You think about that. If you still want to sin, you're not saved yet. I was talking to Brother Stephen Davis about that. I love him very much. I love him very much. And I said, Brother, how do people teach their congregation? He said to me, Brother Gary, I wish it was that way. I wish when the Lord gave us eternal life, he took away our carnal nature, but that's not my experience. Well, it's not mine either. It's not yours either. You've still got that carnal natural will. It makes you want to do carnal natural stuff, doesn't it? It makes you want, and I'm telling you right now, if you're not real careful, if we're not really careful, you know what will happen? If we let up, if we're not thinking about it, if we're not cultivating that inner creature, if we're not seeking the will of God, if we're not studying on it, if we're not really, what will happen is before we even think, the carnal nature will rise up, right? And we'll say or do something bad. Isn't that right? Do you have to study on that? Do you have to think about it and study on it and ponder it and plan it and you know go to class to learn that? No. You know what you got to do? Even if you're a child of God, are you listening? Even if you're a child of God and you are, even if you are, we have to be taught and trained and strengthened and educated in order to be able to resist those carnal desires and follow after the leadership of the will that God has worked in us and follow after that. We've got to learn to do it. When Brother Don Ferris was preaching my ordination and delivering the charge to me, he said many things that I will never forget. So powerful were they to me. I had him write them down, and I've read them over the years. Keep reminding myself. But one of the things he said was, resist youthful lust to your dying day. That's pretty good advice. Now, I want to ask you, why does a middle-aged man have to resist youthful lust? What is up with that? You know why? It's the nature of the carnal man. If I didn't still have that, y'all, if I didn't still have that carnal nature, I wouldn't have to resist that, would I? God does not eradicate that just because he gives you eternal life. So now what you've got two wills at odds with each other, and that is, and I'm telling you, in opposition to all the stuff that's taught in the religious world to the contrary, I'm telling you that if you're in that shape, you are saved. You certainly are saved, or you wouldn't be in that shape. But now what we need to do, First thing we need to do is realize we have that. Realize that the inner man is following after, and we need to learn how to follow after that. That's why we have the Word of God. Did you all know that? The Word of God doesn't make a lick of sense to the person that's unregenerate. The gospel doesn't make a lick of sense to the person that's unregenerate. Their carnal nature will not allow them to jump up there. But for those of us who are, the Word of God makes a lot of sense. It makes sense to the inner man, and it encourages us and strengthens us and educates us and teaches us how to live our lives right. You know, there are some things we've got to be taught that we must resist. We have to be taught to resist them, don't we? And I could go on a list of that. Now, what I want to do, I want to close out this morning with a little dab of Romans 7, because I want y'all to know that just because you're in this shape, I want you to know you're in good company. Turn with me to Romans 7, because if ever there was a person who described this dilemma of having these two wills in him, described it in incredible language, I think it's the Apostle Paul in the 7th chapter of the Roman letter. Now, before I read this, will you agree with me that the Apostle Paul was saved? Was he saved? Was he born of God? Was he heading to heaven? Had Christ redeemed him? Not only had Christ redeemed him, Christ had revealed himself to the Apostle Paul probably like he's never revealed himself to another person in the human race. Now, I may not be right about that, but that's pretty close to right. He wrote the book of Romans. He wrote the book of Hebrews, in my opinion. He wrote Ephesians. And, you know, these are incredible things. So here's this man. Well, let me ask you another thing before I read this. Did the Apostle Paul, or did he not, after the Damascus Road, when God converted him and called him to preach, did he or did he not spend the balance of his natural life in selfless labor serving God and serving Christ? Did he or did he not get beaten 5 times with 39 stripes? Was he not shipwrecked? Did he not travel the world in the Roman Empire preaching the gospel and establishing churches? Did he not wind up in prison in Rome? Did he not? Well, what in the world was driving him to do that? Was it his carnal will? Was it the will of the natural man? That's ridiculous, isn't it? The will of a natural man does not lead him to suffer and deprive himself and go through horrible things in order to accomplish spiritual things. So there's no doubt that he's saved. What does he say about his own condition? This is the man that said he was the chief of sinners. By the way, how is it that a spiritual person can feel that way? That's the only kind of person that can feel that way. Does a natural man know he's a bad sinner? You think about what I'm telling you. The person that knows he's a sinner, the person that knows he's offended the God of heaven, that is a person that's got that will in there that is to will and to do of his good pleasure. Y'all see that? He's wanting to do the good pleasure of God, and he knows when he transgresses it. How do you know when you transgress the law of God? Have you ever thought about that? If you had a carnal nature and all that was in tune with was carnal stuff, how would you ever know that you've transgressed the law of God? If all you've got is carnal nature, you can't know you've transgressed the law of God. There's got to be something in you that's in tune with the law of God. I don't know how that's just plain to me. What did Paul say about this? Well, look at this. And this is language. Here is language where Paul is describing himself as having two distinct wills, two distinct natures in one body. And it sounds like he's insane, like he's been smoking crack or something. Listen to this. Verse 15. For that which I do, I allow not. So there's things he does that he's not willing to do. What? That, really, listen. That statement is absurd if he does not have two wills. It's absurd. It makes no sense whatsoever unless he's got two wills. He's saying, the thing that I do, I'm not willing to do it. That's impossible unless you've got two wills. All right, let's go back to the pig. When the pig walls in the mire, is he willing? When he eats till he busts a gut, is he willing? When he roots around and digs up your corn crop, is he willing? Absolutely. Is the pig ever going to do anything against his own will? No, he's even willing to kill himself. Eat himself, slapped to death, right? Paul is saying, I do stuff and I'm not willing to do it. You realize what he's saying? For what I would, the thing that I would do, that do I not. Have you ever felt that way? Have you? Okay. I've been happily married for many, many years. Becky and I will celebrate 30 years this December. I've been happily married for 30 years. She's been happily married for 5 or 6. Well, that in fact, I might not have should gone out on that limb. She may not be happily married yet. Here's what I mean. I have a deep, burning desire to be the right kind of husband. And the right kind of father. And the right kind of pastor. Why do I mess up? What is up with that? Because I've still got that old nature too. Y'all with me? It just breaks my heart. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Is that ringing a bell with you maybe? Paul said, for that what I would, that do I not. I would be a good husband. I would be. But what I want to do, I don't always do. Isn't that right? This is Paul talking, not Gary Hart. This is Paul. But what I hate, that do I. Now you are not going to get a pig to do what he hates. You might wash him up. You know what he's going to do? You wash a pig, powder him up. You take that pig and you wash him and you powder him and you perfume him. And you paint his toenails. You know, I've seen that. Paint his toenails, powder him up, turn him loose. What's he going to do? Is he going to rear up his hind legs, look in the mirror and say, boy, don't I look great? I don't think so. What's he going to do? He's going to go back to wallowing in the mire just as soon as you turn him loose. And for long, he'll smell like a pig again. Perfume notwithstanding, right? He's only got one nature. Remember last week I quoted the one about the leopard can't change his spots. The Ethiopian can't change his skin. You can take a wicked man and grind him among wheat in a mortar with a pestle, and he still won't separate his evil from him. Paul says, the thing I hate is the thing I do. Is that your experience? Is it? I would ask each and every one of you, have you tried to overcome a bad or sinful habit and want to, I mean, have a deep, spiritual, godly desire to overcome this bad habit, whatever it is, but it rises up in reoccurrence from time to time? Why is that? How come we can't just instantly overcome it? Because you still have that carnal nature. Y'all follow what I'm saying? Sometimes, let's confess it, if we're not really careful and if we're not watching really hard, sometimes the thing we hate will be the thing we do. Isn't that right? And I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that if that's your condition, you're an unsaved person. I'm telling you, you are a saved person. And what do we need to do? We need to commit to follow Christ closer and closer and do better and better and strive harder and harder. That's what we need to do. Paul continues. If then I do that which I would not. Think about it. If he doesn't have two natures, these verses make no sense. If then I do that which I would not. In other words, he's saying, I'm doing things that I'm not willing to do. The only way that can happen, he's got to have two wills going on within him. I consent unto the law that it is good. In other words, if I know it's bad, then I know the law that tells me it's bad is good. Right? Okay, how does he know, by the way, how does he know that? If his nature is only bad, how does he know that what the bad thing he's doing, that the law that tells him it's bad is good? How does he know that? He must be born of, he must have two natures. There's no way around it. Now, listen to this. Verse 17. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. Please notice there, he makes the distinction between the inner man, the born-again man, the regenerate man, the Spirit of God dwelling in him. He makes the distinction between that and the outer man. And notice, he considers the inner man to be the real Paul. The one that's going to live forever. Your outer man isn't going to last forever. Hallelujah! God is going to change it one day, adopted into the family of God. Your inner man is the part of you that's going to last forever. I love the thing. This is why I said that about Brother Robert. Not trying to break Sister Nita's heart, but when his body could no longer sustain life, you know what happened? That inner man went to heaven. He went to heaven. Isn't that great? That inner man that God gave him probably when he was a child. Been working in there his whole life. The thing that drove Brother Robert to want to pray with Brother Jerome every Sunday morning over here. The thing that led him to be a godly person. The thing that drove him to do all that. Went to heaven as soon as he could no longer sustain life. And one day God's going to take all that mess, forgive my language, out of our bodies. And they will be fashioned like unto the glorious body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All this is by the grace of God. Remember, it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth. But of God that showeth mercy. All of this. And I guess that's enough. If you're here today and you are in this dilemma that I am describing. And you know what will happen is. Well, okay, here's what happens to me. Maybe this doesn't happen to you. What will happen to me is. I will yell at someone going down the interstate. And call them a squirrel brains. And I'm not joking, I mean it. And Becky tells me I should not do that. But it gets on my nerves. Somebody gets in that left-hand lane, drive slow. We're on the interstate, they get in the left-hand lane, drive slow. That lane is for passing. They're supposed to get over it. I'll say, you squirrel brains, do you not know what you're doing? And just let me put it this way. That is not the inner man moving me to do that. Are you with me? That is my carnality. But then, you know, Becky will scold me and I'll feel bad a little while, but I'll do it again here in a minute. Do y'all face any of these things? If this is your condition, I want you to know on the authority of the Word of God, you are God's child. Do you need to do better? Sure. Do I need to do better? Sure. The way we do better, or one way we can do better, is to come to Christ in water baptism. I give you that opportunity. As we've seen in a couple of verses of water himself.